Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth, one word at a time, on the Unsolicited Opinion, here on KHNC 1360.
You debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? Hey, I'll tell you, it's a great life if you don't weaken, right? Now, listen, if you want to call into the show today, here's the number, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524 is the number to call into the show if you want to get in touch with me. My website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Go there. You can get in touch with me. There's a lot of great information on there. There's a tab on there entitled UN Agenda 21, Derek Future. Please go there. I am amassing all kinds of information about this diabolical plot to enslave us, so please go there and take a look and start reading. And I always say this, but it's so critical. Listen, I'm looking for sponsors and advertisers on this radio show because airtime costs money. I pay to be on the air. They're not paying me to give my unsolicited opinion. I'm paying for the ability to be able to do that. So if you're interested in helping me out, go to my website. Please do that, because I'd like to be able to continue to redistribute the truth, and that costs money. And unfortunately, my last name is a Rockefeller, so you know what that means, kids. Anyway, I want you to call in if you feel like it, 877-254-7524. And I have another great guest lined up who I'm going to bring on after the break, and so that should be another real interesting conversation. And I was reading something about China, and they have all these cities that they've built, which, of course, don't have any residents in them. And they were talking about this one city that they're building an Echo City. Now, for those of us who are all up on this whole United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, we know what these Echo Cities mean. And this encompasses about 11.6 square miles, and it's of non-arable salt pans and former fishing villages, and they figure that'll accommodate about 350,000 people. Now, I think that's kind of a lot of people in 11.6 square miles. It's kind of packed in there. But, hey, what do I know? You know, this is just, I'm just Maggie, and I'm just giving my unsolicited opinion. But in this article I was reading, it said, these sorts of towns raise the question, does the government have some amazing vision for filling these cities, or are they just great white elephants that are wasting public funds? Well, you know what? I guess that guy who made that statement, he is not aware of United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, because if he was, he'd realize that, oh, yeah, there is a grand design to fill those cities and pack and stack the people like sardines in these so-called echo villages, which are really enslavement cities, enslavement villages. But obviously that guy didn't get the message about what these so-called echo cities are all about, and what life will actually be like for these people. But they'll find out if we're not successful. So my goal with this show is the redistribution of the truth, one word at a time. It's all about getting information out there to people who are listening so that they can spread that information to all their friends in their neighborhoods. We need to wake up people in this country. They need to understand that the assault against our liberty and our freedom is being done, this encroachment on our our unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and our property rights is all being done via this these green Nazis pushing this United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development plan. So that's what I'm all about. That's why I do this radio show. It's to get information out there to people, and I'm hoping that people listen to my show will take some of this information, go to the websites of the guests that I have on, start reading, get their books, find out for yourself. You don't need to believe me. Do your own research. Find out what I'm telling you is the truth. You look it up for yourself. You don't have to believe anything I say. Go do it, but you need to do it. You need to get in the game. You need to stand up. That's exactly what we need. We need more American citizens to stand up and fight back. You need to become educated to fight back. It's as simple as that. It really is. It's as simple as that. Now, I want to talk just a couple other things I was reading. And I guess Peter Fonda, who is calling B.O., a traitor over the whole Gulf oil spill. He says that B.O. let foreign boots on the ground tell our Coast Guard and our citizens what they could and couldn't do. So I wonder if kind of the dew is off the rose where a lot of these Hollywood elitists are concerned. Maybe some of them are starting to wise up. I don't know. There's always hope. You know, there is hope springs eternal. There's always hope that maybe that's going on, and maybe they're starting to see that, hey, you know what, there's something fishy in Denmark, I think, as the old saying kind of goes, and something just is not right with this picture. So let's hope that that's the case. Maybe Peter Fonda, maybe he's taking off his rose-colored glasses. You just never know about those things. So, hey, here's another thing, too. The D.C. teachers were helping students cheat on the standardized tests. Now, aren't those the kind of teachers we want in the classroom? We want those teachers who are going to make sure that your child gets an A by hook or crook, right? Aren't they the honorable, upstanding teachers that are actually doing such a wonderful thing of teaching your kids how to cheat? You know, you can't make this stuff up. I wish this was all fiction that I was talking about and not fact, but unfortunately, it's all fact. These things are really happening. So, hey, you got it. My suggestion for people who have their kids in public school, pull them out of there, because all they are is indoctrination camps. Get your kids out of those schools and homeschool them so that you know that what they're learning is fact and not fiction. Now, I've got another great guest who's going to come on after the break, and his name is William Kay, and he has a website called Ecofascism. It's ecofascism.com, and I actually just stumbled upon his website last week, I believe it was. So it was wonderful that I did. It's a great website. I'll be right back, and William will be joining me. So hang in there, everybody. I'll be right back.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Hi, I'm Bev Parker with doTERRA Essential Oils, inviting you to join me for our second in-depth free essential oil event, Sunday, May 22nd, 2 p.m. to 5:30 at the downtown Fort Collins Hilton, located at Prospect and College. We'll have three workshops, essential oil basics, mood management, and experiencing the oils, and essential oils at home. Bring a friend and enjoy a beneficial and fun-filled afternoon while we take the mystery out of essential oils and help you build your own personal medicine chest. Join us Sunday, May 22nd at 2 p.m. at the Fort Collins Hilton on Prospect and College. Please RSVP Bev at RockyMountainEssentialOil.com or call me 970-493-6789. Remember, doTERRA Essential Oils are certified pure therapeutic grade, the most efficacious of all oils. No dilutions, no synthetics, no chemical residues. Again, that's Sunday, May 22nd, 2 o'clock at the downtown Fort Collins Hilton. RSVP Bev at RockyMountainEssentialOil.com or call 970-493-6789.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Harris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Harris Survival. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to call into this show today, the number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. So please, if you have a comment, please email me. Let me know what you're thinking. I'd love to hear what you have to say. So now I have a great guest lined up. William Kay is on the line with me. Hey, William, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
No, the pleasure is mine.
Well, tell me something now. Your website, it's ecofascism.com for people who are listening so they can go there and take a look. Now, as I was saying, and I guess you could probably hear me, I just stumbled on your website last week, and it's a great website, and there's a lot of really interesting articles on there. So what made you decide to put this website together? How'd you get involved with the whole anti-environmentalism, which is a smart thing to do? How'd you get involved with it? What was happening?
Oh, you know, I don't think I ever really believed any of the environmental propaganda. I can recall, I'm a Canadian, and I can recall, you know, what was my sort of awakening point was listening to a, you know, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation radio show. This is like 25 years ago. And I couldn't help but thinking that, you know, this, they're really laying this on thick. They're really pushing this agenda. And I started to look into it then. And I, you know, I'm not someone who ever really believed in the propaganda coming out of the environmental movement. And the more I got into it, the more I studied, you know, which organizations are promoting it, you know, the more I disagreed with it. For several years in Vancouver, I did my own radio show there, and I started doing a lot of programs critical of the environmental movement, and this led to a tremendous backlash. After a couple of years, they eventually took over the radio station to get me off the air. For a period there, it was the agreement was, the saw-off was that I was only allowed to talk about the environmental movement if I had a guest, and if the guest was, you know, someone who was an expert in their field. So I did about, oh, two or three dozen shows with people with PhDs after their name who were, you know, climatologists or geologists, people who questioned the global warming scare, things like that. This only infuriated the environmentalists even more. That I was doing that, and eventually they did drive me off the air. But in the course of doing that show, I became a really militant opponent of the environmental movement, which I still am. And so I started doing this website as another, as an alternative way to get the word out. I've been doing this website for coming around 12 years now, and it's good to have a voice. It's good to get to, you know, be able to get your opinions out there. Otherwise, you're a very frustrated, bitter person. So I get a lot of feedback from the website, and it's good to do shows like this.
Well, you know, honestly, you know, I'm going to take advantage of the platform that I am able to have for as long as I can have it, because I think it's so critical that people like yourself and me and other people out there, we need to stand up. William, if we don't stand up, then they're going to lock us in chains, and that'll be the end of the story. So if you don't fight back, then you're going to go gently into that good night, and I have no intention of living as a slave. Not if there's anything I can say or do about it.
Of the modern age, and one of the reasons why environmentalism is, you know, at the gate, is the concentration of the media ownership. We're really dealing now with maybe 40 organizations that control the mass media in the Western world. There's all kinds of smaller groups, you know, that are out there still, and thankful for that. But, you know, you go down the list of the big ones, you know, like Time Warner and AOL, and we have a, you know, there's a big company in Canada called Thomson that owns a lot of the newspapers and television stations, things like that. It's very concentrated. General Electric and Comcast. That's part of the problem, is the environmental movement. It isn't that they're winning the argument through debate. They're systematically capturing various media outlets. And then they just bombard the population with the propaganda. But it isn't though they're winning hearts and minds over there. No, they're winning boardrooms.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I'll tell you a quick story, and I relayed this to my listeners yesterday, and this happened on Tuesday. I have a friend of mine who goes with me to the county council or county commissioner meetings to fight against UN Agenda 21 and ICLEI and that stuff. And she started a website called Sovereign Citizens United, and it's all stuff on there is all UN Agenda 21 stuff. That's what the whole website is for. Anyway, apparently on Sunday, this show, 60 Minutes, did a expose on people who call themselves sovereign citizens, and these are people who are anti-government, anti-constitution, anti-having a driver's license or paying taxes or Social Security or any of that kind of stuff. And a couple of them who call themselves these sovereign citizens apparently killed a couple of cops. So on Monday, I got a call from Fox News for the show on their business channel called Follow the Money, and apparently what they must have done is they found my friend's website. All they did was a Google search, and they came across a website that says Sovereign Citizens United, and so because they didn't bother to even look what's on the website, they must have assumed that this website is all part of these sovereign citizen people who were on this expose on 60 Minutes. So they called me, and they must have found my friend, her name and my name together in a newspaper article or something. So they called me and asked me, well, do you know about this show on 60 Minutes? I said, no, I never watched the show. And they said, well, would you come on and talk about sovereign citizens? So they sent me a clip of this 60 Minutes thing. And, of course, it has absolutely nothing to do with the name of her website. We're fighting for the sovereignty of the United States and against United Nations Agenda 21. But I thought, when am I ever going to get the opportunity to have millions of people, a platform to speak to millions of people? Now, people listen to this radio show, but it's certainly not millions of people. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this. And if I can be the only person who ever says United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development on national TV, I'm going to go for it. And so that's what I did. I went on the show, and they're saying, well, these people are all about killing cops, and you know, they're all against paying taxes and that stuff. And I said, well, we don't have anything to do with them. I said, we're all about fighting against United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. I said, we're all about the rule of law and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. My goal was just to get United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development out there, and I was able to say it twice. I was only on with them about 3 minutes, so... You know what?
Did that actually get aired?
I'm sorry?
Did that actually get on the air, what you said?
Yeah, it got on the air because, see, they never did their research. They just thought because this website's called Sovereign Citizens United that this must be the same people who the 60 Minutes did this expose on, and that the FBI is claiming all people who call themselves sovereign citizens are all the new terrorists in the United States, right? And, of course... Mm-hmm. You know, that's no different than the Department of Homeland Security memo that came out in 2009 with Janet Napolitano, who labeled people who were followers of Ron Paul as potential domestic terrorists or returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan or Tea Party people or people who believed in the First Amendment or the Second Amendment. You know, it's just this all same kind of crap. You know what I mean? Just whitewashing and labeling people to put them into boxes. Now, we have absolutely nothing to do with those people who killed those cops, but this is, they had the producer of this show, obviously they didn't pay any attention. I said if they had looked at my website for my radio show and bothered to read anything on my friend's website, they would have realized there's no relationship here whatsoever, but they didn't do their homework. So they had no idea that I was going to talk about United Nations Agenda 21. They figured that I must be one of these nut jobs like they tried to portray on 60 Minutes. So, yeah, so I was glad somebody got to say United Nations Agenda 21 on mainstream media TV, because no one talks about it. You know that, William. It's the best-kept secret.
Well, you know, also I think there's a tendency upon some of the critics of the environmental movement to over-focus on Agenda 21. I mean, it is simply a document. It is sort of a general guideline for the UN's environmental programs. But the environmental movement is much larger than that. By my most recent reckoning, as of my last posting, I'm guessing there's about 30,000 environmental organizations. That's not 30,000 environmentalists. That's 30,000 organizations out there. The United Nations Environment Program, there's two things. There's the United Nations itself has a whole bunch of environmental programs that it runs. And then within the United Nations, there's a structured organization called the United Nations Environment Program. And it's one of the largest environmental organizations in the world. It is not the largest organization, environmental organization, but it's got a budget of about $250 million. It is one of the central features of the UN system of environmental groups. And it is also one of the UN, called UNEP, one of the UNEP's subsidiaries has a facility whereby they can instantly email or send correspondence to 6,000 environmental activist groups around the world. And the UNEP also holds biannual conferences where environmental ministries from every country of the world attend. I've seen photographs of these, and it's terrifying. You know the people that run the EPA and the people that run Environment Canada, they have these mass conferences, you know, that fill a football stadium.
Every person in there is
a leading environment bureaucrat. The UNEP does that, but there are men, there's like literally tens of thousands of environmental organizations out there.
It's a very large movement.
Agenda 21 is an aspect of it. It is sort of, it clarified where their thinking was in the early 1990s, but in and of itself, it has no power. It is sort of the marching orders
to the movement.
No, but it's
the framework for what they're doing. It's the framework for what they're doing here in this country and throughout the world, William, to implement this agenda of global enslavement. So you have to have a describer, you have to have a descriptor for people to be able to relate to something. And UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is that framework for all this crap that they're implementing all around the country. So yeah, there's thousands of environmental groups, and so many of them are being funded by our own taxpayer dollars. It's an unbelievable thing.
The money, it comes from the governments. It comes from these wealthy foundations. I've made an effort to, as much as possible, chronicle the money that moves from the big foundations, you know, the Ford Foundation, the Pew Charitable Trust, the Moore Foundation. That's probably a third of the budget for American environmentalism comes through groups like that, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. There's an organization in New York called the Environmental Grant Makers Association. It was established in the 80s to coordinate the activities of the various philanthropic foundations that fund environmental groups.
Okay.
It presently has about 200 members. The Environmental Grantmakers Association itself does not have any power. It is simply a hub or an organizing mechanism for those groups. It puts on conferences and annual retreats for major funders of environmentalism. They have about 200 members, and collectively those 200 members are handing out about $700 or $800 million a year to American environmental groups. But a lot of the really big funders of American environmentalism, the Pew Charitable Trust, the Ford Foundation, the Moore Foundation, the Hewlett and Packard Foundations, they're not members of the EGA. Quite often they'll send representatives, but for whatever reason they prefer not to be a member. But the, you know, the big seven or eight funders, they themselves are handing out, you know, $several hundred million a year. You know, big foundations like that, think in terms of $2 to $3 billion a year, moving from a few hundred organizations to, in America, you're dealing with about 12,000 environmental groups. You know, every city and town has bought them. You know, every river, there's always friends of this river or friends of that mountain. People that try to suppress economic development on virtually every square inch of the country. The money flows from the big foundations down to those small groups. But every individual environmental organization sort of has to sink and swim on its own. They get seed money from the big foundations, but then they also raise money through you know, everything, you know, from selling merchandise to bake sales to membership dues. They can also tap into local governments for money, things like that. But at the core of it, you will find, you know, the major environmental government organizations like the EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Hang on. Hold on. We're going to break. We'll be right back, everybody, in a couple of minutes. Hang in there. This is the Unsolicited Opinion.
I'm here.
Shalom. This is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with them? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters Congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected. We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facility. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
CINN stations in all salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. And listen, I have a great guest with me today. His name is William Kay, and if you want to call into the show today, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524 is the number to call if you want to get in contact with me. Three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com is going to get you to my website. Lots of great information on there. There'll be a link to this podcast up on my website tonight, and there is a link to William Kay's website, ecofascism.com, already on my website. So if you go to podcasts and go to this podcast for today, the 19th, you'll find a link to William's website. So go there, because he's got a lot of great information. William, you got a lot of really interesting articles on there, and there's one on there you have talking about Christianity and the eco-fascists and how they've gotten inside our churches. So did you write that article? Can you talk a little bit about that article with me, if you could?
Yes, I did. It's called Environmentalism's Appropriation of Christianity. As with fascism, the environmental movement is very divided. There are sections within the environmental movement that really want to create a new religion. and it's very sort of a pagan, the New Age stuff. This is very much associated with the environmental movement. You don't all know what the New Age religion stuff is. But there's another section of the environmental movement that has sought to co-opt existing churches, and they've been quite successful with some of them. Certainly the Anglican Church of Britain is virtually an environmental organization at this point, and that dates back to the early 70s. It might come as a shock to people in America, but the British royal family is a very powerful influence in Britain. They are not only one of the richest families in the country, but they still have constitutional input into the government, and they are still technically the head of the Anglican Church. The Queen is the head of the Anglican Church, and she has a lot of input into it. And her husband, Prince Philip, has been leading a campaign now. It's been running on for like 20 years to organize a lot of major churches in support of that. The Greek Orthodox Church is very supportive of environmentalism now. The Catholic Church has always been very divided. They do come out with a lot of very ecological statements, but at the same time, they're very opposed to the population control agenda, so they're very divided. But there's been a long-term campaign by the environmental movement to co-opt various Christian churches with greater or lesser success. One of the leaders in America of that is the Stephen Rockefeller. Not only is he a Rockefeller, he's also a professor of divinity, and he's written books on Christianity and ecology and things like that, and he's one of the driving forces within the sort of Christian slash environmental movement. But, you know, they leave no stone unturned. This is a political movement, environmentalism, that really wants to secure control over the government, and one of the mechanisms by which they hope to do that is by, you know, co-opting or corralling as much of the church as possible. There's also a lot of resistance to that. There's a lot of Christian churches that are not buying into that agenda, particularly a lot of the Baptist groups, a lot of the sort of groups that are not attached to the major institutional churches. But this is merely one front in the campaign. You know, they're co-opting a lot of businesses, and they're co-opting a lot of university departments, and one aspect of this campaign is to mobilize elite church groups as well. They've been very successful with the Anglican Church, and as a consequence of that, the Episcopalian Church in the United States, too, is now virtually an environmental organization.
Yeah, I was actually at a meeting with some people that I know last night. We were talking about how to fight against, United Nations Agenda 21, this whole sustainable development, and different things we can try to do. And one of the things that I think is so critical is getting to the kids, because they're sitting in indoctrination camps in our public school systems, and all they're hearing about is all this green stuff. In fact, sometime in April, there was this, a whole national green video or something that they were playing in the schools, something like that, where the whole day was going to be devoted, or part of the day, to talking to the kids about this whole movement. And I know from a man who's followed what's going on in the educational system, his name is Michael Chapman, he had, in something I was listening to him talk about, he was saying that from 2005 to 2015 was to be the decade for sustainable development here in education in this country. And somebody was telling me yesterday that now they're going to rate schools on how well they do in implementing the whole green agenda here, not whether the kids can add one and one and get two, but how well they're doing in indoctrinating them into this whole green ideology.
Oh, it's certainly happening. It's happening kindergarten through to grade 12. It is definitely happening at the university level. One of the essays I wrote recently is rather provincial. It's just about the environmental movement in Alberta, Canada, where I live. And the universities themselves are just bastions of environmentalism. It sort of infects every department, but now, you know, if you go back to 1970s, you know, ecology, environmental sciences, these weren't classes being offered in universities, and now they're whole faculties. There's thousands of students majoring in ecology and environmental studies, and it's a political agenda. You know, think about this. The phrase conservation biology. What is that? You know, it's like saying socialist physics or anarchist chemistry. Conservation biology, conservationism, is a political program to prevent hinterland development, to prevent winter wilderness development, to block mining and oil and gas. That's what conservationism is. to attach that to a science is a non sequitur. I mean, it's like saying this science is dedicated towards suppressing economic development. Yet they're, you know, they're handing out lots of students, they're getting conservation biology degrees, and then they get jobs with very environmental organizations or parks departments, and they set about suppressing economic development.
Yeah.
But I want to cut to a certain point. To understand environmentalism, you have to understand the metropolitan hinterland divide. Around the world and in the United States, there's a sharp division between the very built-up urban areas in certain parts of the country. In America in particular, it is Boston, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Baltimore, that area there. Though the people who own the real estate and own the fixed assets of that area do not have a vested interest in seeing the West developed. In the United States, as you know, once you go west of Chicago, most of the land is owned by the U.S. federal government. If you really had free enterprise, if you had the kind of policies that both George Washington and Abraham Lincoln wanted, you would throw that land open for development, and industrial entrepreneurs would go out there and they would drill for oil and they would dig coal and they would clear forests and they would establish ranches and towns, and you would have a tremendous boom in the West. But this would mean a major migration of people and investment from East to West. And there are people in the eastern parts of that country who would not benefit from this. In fact, they would see their assets diminished in value. And it's understanding that tension between the metropolitan areas in the Northeast and the undeveloped areas in the West and the North. That's how you understand environmentalism.
Well, there's certainly a lot of tenets of this whole environmentalism movement, and I think it's apropos the title of your website, Environmentalism is Fascism, because one of the things, there's truly no free market capitalism going on. It's all truly fascism with public-private partnerships and these different corporations that are in bed with our government. And listen, William, we're going to go to break. I'll be right back, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion, so hang in there. We're coming right back.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Hey everybody. This is Maggie, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you want to call into the show today, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And, of course, you can go to my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Get in touch with me through there if you so desire. If you'd like to advertise or sponsor this show, get in contact with me, and I can hook you up with the people at the station who can make that happen. Now, you know, you can hear me on Sundays at noon Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Mountain Time on micro1650am.com. Plus, of course, you know, I'm here during the week on KHNC 1360. So, hey, listen in and tell people, you know, to listen into this show, because this is all, this show is all about the redistribution of truth. Now, William Kay is my guest this morning. His website is ecofascism.com. It's a great website with a lot of really great, very well-written and well-researched articles on it. So I suggest you go there and start reading, because you'll be glad you did. You know, before we went to break, William, I was talking about the public-private partnerships and how these multinational corporations have gotten in bed with the government, and they're promoting this whole ideology. But, you know, it's the interesting thing to me, because I was thinking, I was reading something about how now they're after McDonald's, and they want McDonald's to get rid of Ronald McDonald. And, you know, a lot of these corporations are just going blindly along with this. Now, if the end game with this whole United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development is you will eat no more meat, and meat is unsustainable, how many people, how many McDonald's are going to be left out there? What are we going to be eating, lettuce burgers? I mean, you know, there's no logic to what these people are doing.
There are contradictions within that movement. There is an agenda there, definitely, that involves impoverishing people. You know, within the fascist mindset, and you see this so clearly demonstrated to people like Al Gore, people who travel everywhere by jet, who lives in a 20-room mansion. You see the same thing with Prince Charles and what have you. They keep, you know, for all the people in the world to be lecturing the public on how you must cut back on your fuel consumption and not eat so much meat, they're not talking about themselves.
Oh, no, of course not.
They're talking about the great masses out there. And that's the real fascist mentality. At the core of this movement, you've got these old families, these old money families. They have tremendous disdain for the public. They at a very gut level, do not believe in democracy, and they do not believe in capitalism. They're not, you know, Bolsheviks who want to, you know, expropriate the rich or do what have you. We don't need that in America. But these people, it's very much a mistake to confuse, you know, Ted Turner and these people with the left. Now, this is a movement coming from a particularly different angle. And they're definitely calling for an impoverishment of the masses, but they're definitely not calling about cutting back on their own consumption. The whole purpose of an economy, as far as they're concerned, is to sustain, you know, the better people of society.
Oh, sure. They really think that they walk a step above the rest of us, and they look down their nose at us, and their hypocrisy abounds. And when you look at it, like Ted Turner, he talks about the population, and, you know, and people shouldn't have any more than two kids. And what, I think he has six kids, and I believe he owns probably half the state of Montana or Wyoming. I mean, these people are
Rockefellers. He is America's largest landowner, and he's given $1 billion to the environmental movement. I know the America's second largest land-owning family is the Irving family, which are actually a Canadian family. They own massive amounts of land in Canada and the United States, and they are also major promoters of environmentalism. The largest land-owning family in Britain is undoubtedly the royal family, who own over 1,000 square miles of real estate, including vast stretches of downtown London. They are also the leading environmental family of Britain. The largest landowning family, indubitably, in the Netherlands is the royal family, the House of Orange-Nassau, who are debatably the richest family in the world, and they are also, once again, the leading environmental family of that country. You know, down the line, if you want to know who's at the core of the environmental movement, look at who really are the major landowners are. You know, there was they were back when Bill Clinton ran for president. I think James Cavell was his publicity director, and they came up with the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid."
Yes, I do.
The slogan that we should have is, "It's the land, stupid." What the environmentalism is about control over the land. But all these land use policies and land restrictions, it's about blocking, you know, forestry, it's about blocking mining, it's about blocking new construction. There's a bitter struggle going on in Calgary, just north of where I live now. The major construction companies, and these aren't poor boys and they aren't leftists, are very bitter because they can't get any new land to work on. And these cities have vast green space all around them, and they can't get access to it. A lot of the retail areas have got 100% occupancy. These buildings are sold out before they even finish them. And the construction companies cannot get any new land because they're all green space. And every time they try to get so much of a crumb of that land, the environmental movement's up in arms. And you'll find that all across America.
Yeah.
Every time they try to throw some new land open for development, there's this tremendous backlash.
Well, you know, all they need to do, if you've ever flown from the East Coast to the West Coast, all you need to do is look out the window and realize that the majority of the United States is wide open. It's open space.
Yeah.
When you fly from, you know, New York to Florida, that's the same thing. I mean, the majority of the population lives, what, within 50 miles of both coastlines? The rest of the country is wide open. It already is open space.
You could fit the entire population of the planet in suburban housing in the state of Texas. You could put the entire urban population of the world in the state of Spain. You know, I live in Canada. You think America's empty? You should come to Canada.
I know. I used to go to Canada a lot when I was young, and I know it's wide open.
The province I live in right now, Alberta, it has a greater land mass than Britain and Germany combined. It has a population of 3.5 million. Britain and Germany combined have a population of 150 million. And Alberta's got more water and more oil and more coal than those countries do. And there are environmentalists here who think Alberta is too crowded.
Yeah, well, see, it's all about power and control. Yeah, it's power and control, and these globalists, they want power and control. They want to control the world and the people in it, and it's so evident. The more you dig into this stuff, the more you recognize what this is all about. And
one of the critical tensions is this issue of land. To the people who own a lot of real estate, a lot of these people have a lot of vacancies. They own a bunch of buildings that are sitting half empty in Philadelphia. So imagine going to talk to that man and saying, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's throw a whole bunch of new real estate in open for development.
Hang on to that thought, William. We got to go to break.
Band
is the unsolicited
room
opinion. Everybody, we'll be right back. Hang on.
Cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245. An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Hi, I'm Bev Parker with doTERRA Essential Oils, inviting you to join me for our second in-depth free essential oil event, Sunday, May 22nd, 2 p.m. to 5:30 at the downtown Fort Collins Hilton, located at Prospect and College. We'll have three workshops, essential oil basics, mood management, and experiencing the oils, and essential oils at home. Bring a friend and enjoy a beneficial and fun-filled afternoon while we take the mystery out of essential oils and help you build your own personal medicine chest. Join us Sunday, May 22nd at 2 p.m. at the Fort Collins Hilton on Prospect and College. Please RSVP Bev at RockyMountainEssentialOil.com or call me 970-493-6789. Remember, doTERRA essential oils are certified pure therapeutic grade, the most efficacious of all oils. No dilutions, no synthetics, no chemical residues. Again, that's Sunday, May 22nd, 2 o'clock at the downtown Fort Collins Hilton. RSVP Bev at RockyMountainEssentialOil.com or call 970-493-6789.
Worship and warfare, holy places and in his hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And my guest this morning is William Kay, his website ecofascism.com. There's a link to his website on my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Go there under podcast. The podcast of the show will be up on my website tonight, so if you want to listen to it again or pass it along to your friends, please do so. Listen, William, we've only got a couple minutes left, and so you've been in this fight trying to educate people about what these eco-fascists are all about. What are a couple of suggestions or any suggestions you may have in terms of strategy, tactics? Of course, I don't like to let the cat out of the bag, but hey, you know, it is what it is. What, any ideas for people who are listening?
What I would recommend is people, you know, keep themselves informed, et cetera, et cetera, but also reach out into your own communities. One of the reasons why the environmental movement is so successful is they have a cellular structure where they're organized in every sort of geographical area, even in small towns. There's little groups that they form. That's a conscious strategy on the part of that movement. That is something that we have to do here. You know, I put an ad in the local paper, you know, just simply said, you know, do you question the environmental propaganda? And I got some phone calls from some people, and we sort of meet on a small basis, do that. And I've had this question put to me by people over the Internet, and some of them have formed organizations too, but reach out, even if it's just a small group meeting around coffee to talk about this. It's important to form those kinds of groups. There's a really good group in Calgary called Friends of Science that also does that sort of thing, but the thing to do is, you know, don't just mourn, you got to organize and keep informing yourself about it and the nature of it. You know, it's this is not a movement that developed in the 1960s. This is a centuries-old movement, and it's a very dark force, and it is just relentlessly moving towards state power. And if they do get into state power, we're in for a serious bout of impoverishment. We're going to move towards a world where people are going to work very long hours at really pointless tasks, and that money is going to get sucked away from them in rent and in taxes and what have you. That's the world that we're heading towards, a world of sort of mass unemployment and very high land costs and very high energy costs and things like that. That is the agenda. And
yes,
it's being driven by people who are, you know, are very wealthy and who have a tremendous disdain for the common people. And above all, do not confuse this with the politics of the Cold War. If you really must fight a war again, fight the American Revolution again, because that is precisely the battle lines that you're seeing. At the core of the environmental movement are the European aristocrats. And I'm not a conspiracy monger. You know, there isn't as though there's one or two aristocrats. There's several thousand aristocrats, and many of them are billionaires. And these are people who did not like the idea of the development of the Americas in the first place. They fought bitterly against it.
And they want it back.
They are fundamentally hostile to republicanism.
Listen, William, thanks so much for coming on my show. We've only got a few more seconds. Thanks again. William K., ecofascism.com is his website. William, I'll definitely have you back on again. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Anytime, Maggie. Thank you, and fight on.
I will. Listen, everybody, you know I love to go to Oz. Somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Keep your chin up, because we got people like William Kay in the world who are fighting for you and I. Hey, better days are coming. Go to my website. Take care, everybody. Chin up.
Really? You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going to...
Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble.
Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto?
There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. place far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Chimney tops, that's where you